AgBioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
So it's no longer just about producing enough food to feed the world, but it's about affordability, and it's about making sure that the food is healthy. And that is the cross-reference between, I think, my world, certainly Dave's world, and even Jeff's world. So that's sort of the dynamics that we're experiencing, Alina.
Welcome to AgBioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Welcome to Ag Bioscience. I'm Kayla Chittister here with you to bring a special November recap episode as we look ahead to a holiday week. Happy Thanksgiving. Our Agrinovis team was proud to present the One Health Innovation Summit alongside BioCrossroads this month at the newly opened Elanco Global Headquarters in Indianapolis. It was a day of convening leaders from across animal, plant, human, and environmental health to examine our intersectional opportunities to innovate and drive One Health outcomes forward together. At the top of the day was a mega panel moderated by our Central Indiana Corporate Partnership CEO, Melina Kennedy. Joining her on stage was Elanco CEO Jeff Simmons, Corteva Agriscience CEO Chuck Magro, Eli Lilly CEO Dave Ricks, Purdue University President Meng Cheng, and Indiana University President Pam Witten. Yes, quite a panel. We're so excited today to bring you that discussion on the month-end episode of the podcast. Please enjoy this fantastic perspective on One Health, Indiana's enviable position to lead, and what corporate and academic leaders see as our state's future. And on behalf of the entire Agrinovis team, thank you for listening to Ag Bioscience and happy Thanksgiving.
I am super excited to moderate this panel of giants, giants on the global stage in the One Health, One Health area, meaning ag, human, and animal sciences. We have here Dave Ricks, who needs no introduction, the CEO of Lilly, and Pam Witten. Actually, no one here needs an introduction, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. The president of IU. Chuck Magro, CEO of Corteva Agrisciences, Meng Cheng, president of Purdue, and Jeff from Elanco. So thank you for hosting today, Jeff. We really appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and get started with the questions. What we're trying to do here today is really dig into this concept of One Health. What does it mean? And you heard from the secretary about the state's vision. Let's hear from industry and academia about their vision. And I thought I'd start with Jeff because he has been one of the biggest proponents of One Health, to share a little bit about your vision and what it means to Elanco.
Yeah, thank you, Melina. Thanks, everybody. I'll keep it really simple. I think One Health has been talked about for a long time, but I think today's a lot about how it becomes practical value. And I think the best example is up here on stage. There's three large companies that are now leaders in human, Dave and Lilly, now number one by far, right, in human health. But Chuck and I represent, actually, our heritage goes back to Lilly. So if you kind of look up here, you've got three companies in plant, human, and animal health that represent One Health better than ever. And today is actually why and how we originated. We were in the labs in the 60s and 70s inside of Eli Lilly. Compounds were found, platforms of science, where people said, hey, this might have application. And I'll give one example of a compound that actually, and really what today is all about. And that is that you take a compound and it starts to have the application across the three. How do you accelerate that? So I use a compound that kind of came into life when I came into Lilly in the 80s, spinosad, 1985, a compound was found. It actually forced really Dow Elanco and the plant side to get spun out of Lilly. Spinosad in 1985 was founded. It came to the market in 1997 in plants. It's a multi-billion dollar industry in plant. It took another 10 years to come into pets, Comfortis and Trifexis, another multi-billion dollar, but it took 10 years. That led to then a spin out of a whole nother platform around this whole thing, this analog called isoxazolines. That's the tapeworm down in the lobby, called Credelio Quattro, another multi-billion dollar industry. That actually came in 2013. It took another 10 years, 2 years ago, we just spun that back into human health as a product called, in a company called Tarsus. It's now a $3 billion market cap company that Elanco actually spun the compound out of, and it's human health. So I think it's an example of today's about why we actually originated up here, which was scientific synergy in labs. We've all separated for right reasons to focus and have an R&D model. What we're now trying to do is say, hey, how do we get that synergy back with universities? And there's no better place, I think, in Indiana to do it. And we're the best example of it, I think, anywhere in the world between human, plant, and animal health. The challenge is we created $15 billion of value, that example I just said, but it took us 40 years. How do we do it much faster? Bigger pools of value much faster is what One Health Indiana is all about.
Jeff, thank you for that. It's a great way to kick off with a really specific example of this intersection. And I want to bring it up just a quick level to how do we all work together toward our individual visions and missions through the companies and the universities here on stage. And Dave, if I can start with you, one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies, if not the, if you can just share a little bit about your vision and how you see partners on this stage helping you realize that vision.
Yeah, great. Great to be here. Beautiful space, Jeff. Thanks for hosting us and great to have Elanco downtown. That's great news. I agree, it's good to be on the panel here. The three companies have we're cousins, common ancestry, and great to be with President of Purdue and IU, my two alumni, my two universities I went to. So a lot in common, and I think great cohesive working relationships already here. You know, at Lilly, we're focused on human health and translating science into prolonged and improved life. That's what we do. I think it's related to both technologically and also in mission to the other two companies, just with different species. That's, what we have in common. I guess, you know, one thing to raise today, and I think what sort of this initiative could really energize would be a point around ambition. We have this, 150 years in May, we'll celebrate our 150th anniversary of founding of Lilly, close to the 250th founding of our country. It's an old company that started here in this place and created a lot of good, still is. But have we fully kind of captured the ambition that's in front of us to, make this the place? And I think that's, I guess, a challenge for the people on stage, but maybe the people in the audience as well. I think sometimes in our state, we want to be cohesive. We are. We like to frame things in our own horizon. But I think this is like a global opportunity of a huge scale. And I think we still have some work to do to fully capture that, to be honest. So we have a lot of the roots and, key ingredients here. We probably need to think a little bigger.
That's fair. And the challenge is on all of us on stage in the audience and CACP by Crossroads Agrinovis. We stand ready to go bigger. Today is about really understanding what the assets we have and how do we actually work closer together and integrate more at a deeper level to really seize these opportunities. I want to ask Chuck Magro if he can just share a little bit from the Corteva lens, was a leading role, of course, in shaping the health of farmers everywhere, a powerhouse in innovation, of course, in this space. And so we know that, but there are a lot of fundamental shifts in the food value chain that some of us in this room may be familiar with and others aren't. So we would love to hear your thoughts on that and what are the dynamics of this conversation.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I would echo, Jeff, this is an amazing building. Congratulations to everybody involved. I guess on One Health to start with, if you think about Corteva, so we're probably a very good example of One Health. 4 years ago, we moved the headquarters from Wilmington, Delaware to the state of Indiana. I moved here personally, and we moved a lot of our executives and top scientists to Indiana. So we are a living example, I think, of that experience. We can talk more about that. Spoiler alert, it's been a good experience. So I wanted to, it's actually been fantastic. The state has got so many assets in multiple ways. And I think many of our people are very happy living here in the community. When it comes to ag and food, there's a massive shift going on right now. First of all, it's getting harder to grow crops. If you look at the latest statistics we have, would suggest that 40% of crops that farmers grow never make it to the grocery store because of disease or pest pressures. And that's with the science that we have today, which has never been better. And then if you think about just the amount of people that go to bed hungry every night, globally, it's almost 30%. And in the state of Indiana, which is considered rich by every definition, it's 14%. So we have to do better even in our own state here in terms of poverty and food security. When you go beyond that, though, things get even more interesting, I think. Thinking through the other dimensions, you've got global food security, you've got certainly dimensions around affordability. So if you've been to the grocery store recently, what you're going to notice is that in the last 4 years, food inflation is really high. It's about 25%, so higher than general inflation. And that's putting a lot of stress on the food system. And then more than anything, people are just more aware of what they're putting in their bodies and the connection between food and human health. And people are just being very conservative and cautious about that and wanting to understand everything that goes into the food production. So it's no longer just about producing enough food to feed the world, but it's about affordability and it's about making sure that the food is healthy. And that is the cross-reference between, I think, my world, certainly Dave's world, and even Jeff's world. So that's sort of the dynamics that we're experiencing, Melina. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. One of the key ingredients to a strong economy are innovation districts. That's been proven throughout the country. We have our own base of emerging and current innovation districts that bring together business, academia, innovators. And one of the things CICP is working on with all of the partners on stage here is to really create a more collective constellation, I will say, of innovation districts. So we're not just talking about them one-off, but how do they actually tie together? How do they innovate together? Where are the strengths and how do we connect them? So more to come on that. But with that, I wanted to bring in Pam and Meng to talk a little bit about the innovation districts nearby that they, one where we're sitting and one down the street at 16 Tech, where they have a strong presence and what they see for the opportunities there within the districts, but also to work together. So maybe I'll start with Pam, if you want to talk a little bit about the new IU Lab and what you're doing in the 16 Tech Innovation District.
Thank you. So we have been integrated and committed, if you will, to the 16 Tech District and really expanding Indianapolis and beyond since I came in 2021. And I know IU was committed before that, but we've had a lot of opportunity for significant expansion. And it's been a pleasure to really work with multiple teams. And I'm just going to say this publicly and out loud and hope that there's no cameras going. It's a joy and a pleasure to work with Purdue as well. Wonderful, wonderful university. I mean that sincerely, and we're very happy with the partnership.
Did you record that? Did the camera record that? Are we going to play that over and over again on YouTube? Not going to talk
football. So one of the rather large and exciting initiatives that Melina is referring to is an initiative called IU Lab, and I hope you've all heard about it. It's something that we started dreaming about a couple of years ago and then formulating in partnership and with just incredible support from the Lilly Endowment, where they ended up providing the university $138 million to actually build the facility at 16 Tech that is IU Lab. And this represents, I'm just going to be very frank, a new day for Indiana University in terms of the mission, in terms of the role we feel we play in the state, and how we think we should be collaborating and working with people. And so it is very, very much an academic industry partnership. IU is the academic anchor for the venture, if you will. But it really is ingrained with the spirit of our ambition, which is to make Indiana ground zero in the United States for all things development, commercialization related to biotech. And so that means everything from actual new degrees. We have a degree in biomedical engineering, for example, now at IU and in Indianapolis that works through that building, all the way to systems in place for faculty and students to bring ideas for startup and commercialization to actual commercialization education activities that are happening. And so IU Health actually funded an accelerator program for us. And so we have a pre-accelerator piece that is brand new people with new ideas to get them started, and then a plug-and-play partnership with companies that are ready to go. And so what's going to happen, what's already in place, companies have been selected, is we're going to be producing 40 new companies a year that are in this space, that are to the point where they'll be commercialized. And our intention is that they will build and stay in the state of Indiana to build onto that ecosystem as well. And so it's about partnership. It's about collaboration. It's about recognition that it takes all of us on the team, all of us in the family, to pull this off in terms of the lofty ambitions that we have. And that includes a really healthy, strong, respectful relationship with our fellow R1 university with Purdue as well, which we enjoy.
Thanks, Pam. So, Mung, we're sitting here in the One Health Innovation District. So I want to ask you to share with us Purdue's commitment and Purdue's excellence and how you can contribute specifically in this Innovation District and beyond.
Well, thank you, Melina and CICP. Great to be here. Well, I want to echo what Secretary Adams highlighted, the essentiality of One Health working across human, animal, and plant health today, and also the sense of urgency that this is our moment as a state across all the universities and companies to work together with speed and scale to win. I want to highlight particularly both Indianapolis and One Health are two of the four university-level strategic initiatives at Purdue University. So this means a lot to us, and we've got great colleagues in the room right here later today. They're going to share some of the details, but I just want to highlight that Purdue intends to be the best in America in designing, discovering, and delivering medicine to both humans and animals, and to bring the power of digital agriculture to all the farmers in our great state of Indiana, and to feed humans and animals. Now, as Pam highlighted, it takes the whole ecosystem, and that constellation of research parks is such an outstanding approach. Purdue is a proud partner as part of 16 Tech as well with our audiology, one of the best country program, and then here in One Health Innovation District, anchored with the beautiful Elanco new headquarters, and now the acreage surrounding you as a university partner with you, and then of course with LEAP, working as a university partner with Dave's Eli Lilly ginormous facility built out over there to do discovery and manufacturing of medicine in America again, and then all the way to West Lafayette, another half an hour north, where we are looking at the Discovery Park District and Research Park, including some One Health unicorn level of startup companies right there. So I just want to say a big thank you to the industry partners here. It's in Purdue's DNA, if you will, to work with companies. In this case, thank you so much for the partnership, Jeff. I know this is really your vision. Is Secretary Adams' vision. Several years ago, we were here looking at empty lot, and now here we are with not only this beautiful facility, but an even more exciting vision for One Health. Thank you for all the partnership here. And thank you to Corteva, because Corteva not only gifted us with a great endowed chair professorship in crop science, but we work very well together in critical areas such as gene discovery, such as nitrogen stabilization, such as IoT for ag. And to Dave, thank you for the outstanding investment to research of AI-aided medicine discovery, robotics-based manufacturing, advanced chemistry, and the workforce development underlying all of the above with Eli Lilly. And I saw some great friends coming in, including, I think, Jay Price, who's going to be on the next panel. I'm excited to hear his vision for mission, pet health, and working with two medical schools, both the great medical school here with IU, thank you, Pam, and also with Marion. I see my dear friend Dan over there. I look forward to your dinner tomorrow night with the medical school at Marion. We've got an ecosystem right here in Indianapolis, in central Indiana, to win the race in One Health.
Excellent. So you can see there's so much to work from. And to Dave's point, we have a lot of work to do to position us as the global leader. We have the assets, though. We just need to bring them together and tie them together under a One Health umbrella. If you look at some, for example, a research triangle, it's a very vast area with a lot of things happening within it. And we need to paint a picture of our research triangle with our own vision, our own marketing. But we have the assets. We have the global giants here of the best in the world from a company industry standpoint, the best in the world from a university standpoint, multiple innovation districts. Now we need to tie it together. And when we look at the research and the data, even within our smaller regional focus area, we punch way above our weight in terms of innovation, research, IP, et cetera. So we have the ability to take it to the next level. And the last thing I'll say that really separates us is we not only innovate here, and we're going to do more as a result of this partnership, but we make it here too, and we distribute it here too. So we provide the world's food, medicine for animals, for people. We make it here, we innovate it here, and we deliver it from here. So that's super exciting, and there's a lot of work to do. One of the things that really ties these three areas together that this group and many others has been looking at is an enabling technology of advanced chemistry. And so we've been working BioCrossroads and others on the stage here on a strategy to really supercharge that. Dave, you've been very involved in that, and it was really kind of partially your vision. If you can talk a little bit more about the importance of that and how we all work together in that regard.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about chemistry here.
Yes, advanced chemistry.
Yeah, well, I think there's like three things that can stitch the five great institutions here together. You know, of course, talent is part of that, and there's no, you know, cluster without great talent pools. And we look at exchange between the companies, but of course, the universities generate degreed programs that meet the needs of the industry. I think, you know, I mentioned urgency and ambition. I think time is important here. We can come back to that with what's happening globally. But then you have like common technologies, and that has to start with chemistry. I think the basis of all our industries is at some form chemistry. And so that can involve discovery, like Meng mentioned, some of the work going on with AI. We just announced, actually, we're going to build the world's largest chemistry-focused supercomputer in downtown Indianapolis. It'll be done by the end of the year using thousands of B300 Blackwell chips. We're only constrained by power, by the way. So if the government's here, we could use a little more power. You know, that's exciting, but that those kinds of platforms, I think, can help accelerate everything here. And the basis is chemistry. How do molecules link together to create new matter that solves life sciences problems? Actually, chemistry is also, I think, the only departments at IU and Purdue that are both ranked top 25 nationally. And we should go for number one. I think there's no domain that, you know, I think has been more neglected in the United States in the last 50 years. And frankly, where we have that collective industrial and academic strength. So we'd love to go big on chemistry. There's, of course, technology, like in the IT sense, but then there's also enabling technologies that could help all three companies create advantage, whether it be like enzymatic processes, green chemistries. There's many things we could work on together that would be research-based, non-competitive, but if that could be the home in Indiana, it would enable more production, more discovery, and more competitive companies. So, you know, basically that's the idea, is how can we come together, not just, pardon the pun, organically, but in a more purposeful way that really goes for like number one. And when I talk about ambition, I think that's what we need to be thinking about. So that would be about, I think, space. We need to think about that. I think chemistry labs at both my parent universities need updating, frankly. I think the state's laboratories, it is one of those disciplines that the first question any recruit will ask is like, show me the space, I'm going to do the work. And there's a beautiful space here. We have great spaces at Lilly, but I think academically we need to upgrade. Another one is the talent themselves. How do we land kind of dream hires at a much higher rate into the state? And that's what our scientists want to work with. is the best people. Mm-hmm. And then a strategy to coordinate and find some themes that the three companies and two universities, Notre Dame we can include, Rose Holman, that we can build like collective expertise in a way that's truly world-class. I think we could do that in the next few years, and I'd love to see that happen. I think it would help everybody.
Excellent. Thank you for your leadership on that. And that is something we are collaboratively working toward, which is very exciting. I do want to ask both Chuck and Jeff, just briefly from your industry sector's focus area, how does advanced chemistry
help? Yeah, I'll build, I think everything Dave said, there's a lot of synergy. We've set together quite a few forums. I mean, this is the biggest challenge, and it comes back to talent. I think what's exciting, and I think Chuck got into this, and Dave, the solution set for the world's biggest problems are in front of us. I mean, we've got an environmental challenge. We've got a nutrition food challenge. We've got longer, healthier, more active lives. We've got autoimmune. All of this comes to how we can draw the talent is the problem set. The problem set are big problems that the best talent wants to go after. And then I think we're creating an ecosystem where people not only come to these universities, but they stay. And the companies can be a big part of the staying as well. And that's another charge I think we all have here, is how we can bring the best talent around the world and have them stay. Talked to a major genetics player last night, and it was like, hey, do I go to North Carolina or Indiana? I'm going because I need to go get the best minds. And so we draw the best companies if we can keep the best talent. And I think that's what we have. And I think our big selling point is it starts with the chemistry, but then it comes to finding solutions for, man, the next 5 years, what we can do, next 10 years against these big problem sets are big. And I think Lilly's a great example, and Corteva going after some big ones as well as ourselves.
Yeah, I would agree just very quickly. So advanced chemistry and biology are the twin pillars that our industry is built on. I'd say today from a science perspective in plant crop health, American technology is leading the world, and our U.S. farmers have the best technology available to them. But there is a lot of good science happening around the world, and there is a competition for talent. And we have to figure out how to draw that competition from around the world, outside of the state, and bring them here. And that's going to require a different type of thinking, I believe. It's not only the partnerships that we have here, but it's how do we, when we get talent to come to the state, how do we make sure that they're well integrated and they plant deep roots in the community? Because I think that that's going to be absolutely critical for us to kind of the next generation of technology to be led out of the state and out of the United States.
Thank you. The talent has come up several times on the panel, both in the higher education academic side, as well as the students and retention. I'd love to hear from Meng a little bit about your thoughts on how Purdue is looking at that, and then Pam right after. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I know that Pam and I have been talking about this along with some other universities, including Notre Dame, about this very important topic. So first of all, just to underline the underappreciated importance of chemistry and chemical industry to the reindustrialization and onshoring, hopefully, to America's hard tech corridor right here between Indianapolis and West Lafayette, to so many different industry sectors, from data centers and microelectronics to life science and One Health to energy and battery. They're all chemical based. So we need to reshore and reindustrialize our nation's, our state's capacity to do just that. And at Purdue, we are very blessed to have four chemistry departments. Don't ask me why, but we have four outstanding chemistry departments belonging to four different colleges. And collectively, they have more than 2,000 students enrollment in chemistry. Is this how nerdy the place is, right? Very proud of that. And I think we're one of the largest excellence at scale, collectively speaking, chemistry enrollment in the United States. We also have two Nobel Prizes in chemistry, and we are named actually one of our latest compute clusters to work on chemistry AI research after one of the Nobel Prize winners. And by the way, congrats, Dave, on this innovative partnership with NVIDIA. And I saw Jensen Huang at that event, GTC, and talked to him. He just couldn't stop talking about Eli Lilly. We also have great faculty members already, and we're attracting even more. One example, Professor Phil Lau, who's a chemistry professor, also works in the Institute for Cancer Research, one of the seven only such fundamental cancer research institutes recognized by NIH in the country, and working also on comparative oncology, that's One Health. And one of his many drugs discovered was Pluvicto. It's in the news these days for one particular patient. And Phil Lau has generated this momentum now in Indianapolis of radiopharmaceutical. And now we're labeled as the capital in the country for radiopharmacy, right? So I think there are great talents already, but we need to hire more of them. Where's the bottleneck? As Dave highlighted just now, often it is the research facilities on our campuses. We need to catch up on that. We need help to be able to do just that, and then we'll be able to recruit the best talents, and then they can in turn attract and train the very best workforce. Over to you, Pam.
Thank you. I think I maybe would answer this in two pieces. The first is just being Captain Obvious and what we all know in terms of what we need, right? In terms of recruiting new people, the investments we need to make. We know it's real. You know, for example, a couple of years ago, we committed $250 million investment in life sciences at IU, and it is paying off. But we needed those investments, and they are very significant investments in lab and space for people, startup packages, and the various things we need to recruit folks. And we're doing it in various waves. So, for example, our Bloomington campus, in addition to regular faculty hiring that it would do, has an initiative called the Faculty 100, which is about hiring 100 elite, world-class people that we recruit in just to meet strategic goals. We're 61 into that 100. I had a reception for them at my house probably about a week ago, and they are from the places that, you know, the named places you would brag about, and you all know what they are, MIT, et cetera, that want to come to Indiana, want to come to IU because of the resources that are in play, and because we've sped up our game in terms of getting them started as well. I'm embarrassed to say this, and I mean this, three of the 61 were from Purdue that they come to IU, and that's probably not the right strategy, right? Yeah, exactly.
We got another 10, so it's still a 7 deficit. Oh, wow, I'm kidding, no. As long as they stay in our own state.
That's right. But it is, you know, it is the basics, right? It's about recruiting the best from around the world into the state of Indiana. It's about being smart and creating the ecosystem so that they want to stay. But it's also about new programs, new degrees that we're putting together that are interdisciplinary at our schools that attract them because it's something new and exciting. But the second way I'd answer that is really just tied to Indiana and the strategy that we have. And so, IU is huge, right? Over 90,000 students. We actually have the largest living alumni base in the country now, 806,000 people. We just passed Penn State. Thank you very much. They are furious about that.
Ask them in two ways.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
That was good.
We used to be, as you all know, right, biggest medical school in the country. That's fantastic, really tough. I mean, 6% of the people who applied to get into the class this year got in, so it is an exceptional school in terms of quality, in terms of the research and impact that it's having. Obviously, our Bloomington campus closing in on 50,000 students. Our applications for Bloomington alone have gone up 60% in just 4 years, so there's drive for it. The wonderful, lovely, amicable splitting of IUPUI that really did go exceptionally well for both of our institutions, and we're both better and contributing more to Indianapolis for it, but IU Indy attaining R1 top research status in its first year as a freestanding university. So we have two R1 qualified universities through IU, as well as obviously Purdue and Notre Dame. To have four R1s in a state with 6.5 million people is an extraordinary asset and resource that we need to take advantage of. We've got 5 regional campuses, 2 sub-regional campuses, 9 medical school campuses. But we always were kind of to each his own and each with a specialization. And we intentionally launched a strategy across IU that everybody's unique and special, but it's one Indiana University. And we will work together, we will cross over and support each other and have access to the unique special things on all of our campuses and places and spaces. And it has worked, it is different. I was at a dinner with a group of very elite faculty researchers in Bloomington a couple months ago, and their first question out of the gate was, how can you introduce us to the researchers, our colleagues at IU in Indianapolis, because we want to work with them. This did not happen 5 or 10 years ago at Indiana University. And so the kind of cross-pollination and macro system for all of Indiana University now, while still retaining what is unique and special about the individual locations, it's actually reaping huge benefits for us as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We're getting close to the close, hard to believe. I do want to just ask, this is the one question I'll do, just kind of one quick bar down the line for each of you. If we could close with, if we all work together in this room and on stage and beyond, what does success look like to you?
Start with me?
Start with you. Sorry.
Yeah, well, maybe begin and where I began. I mean, I think if we can up our ambition to look beyond our borders, if we think about Indiana, I mean, it's been highlighted the incredible excitement here. I think Elanco, we watch carefully, and the flywheel is really starting to click, and Chuck's dividing his company and hoping to unlock new value. Lilly's obviously on a roll, and the universities are doing well. But does our collective success equate to more than that? And I think that will require not just getting along, but actually like doing things together that are big, like big on a global scale. And I think we have the means to do that. The question is, do we have the ambition? And coming together on chemistry is one big idea. There probably are others. One Health can be a holding place for that. If we think from about, 450 yards from here to the south, is actually the largest drug development campus in the country. That's Lilly's LTC campus, and then the largest medical school in the country in the middle here, Purdue's emerging presence downtown, IU's strength already downtown, and then going up to Corteva and all the way to what we're doing in Lebanon, which is going to be the largest production facility in the country for medicine. Yeah, we have huge assets, but can we harness them together? And that's the question, and I'd like to answer yes, but there's work to do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam.
So I would agree in our commitment and strong desire across all of us to do exactly what Dave said. Grab the brass ring for the really, really big issues and elevate what we do across the state and beyond in that way. So I'll go micro since you went macro and say, from the perspective of IU in terms of our responsibility, we're going to walk the walk. So in, we'll say 18 months, you're going to see 40 new companies launched, 40 new life science biosciences company launched in the state of Indiana through the collective work of IU Lab and the partnerships with everyone. And I would put IU Health in that group as well.
Yeah, I'd say prosperity and long-term success is what success looks like for us. So we've got real challenges. You think about global food security, climate change, all these items. I think science and technology needs to be the solution, and that should happen here. We've got all the raw materials for it. It's just a matter of, I think, having a focus and continued collaboration and some investment here so that our next generations are more prosperous than we are.
Well, I want to draw people's attention over there to that beautiful poster. You see some human beings. You see a dog, a cat, some cattle, and you see a incredible farmland over there, right? And if you look at that picture and you think about One Health, why human, animal, plant health got to work hand in hand. And then you look back here on this stage, right, with the Lilly cousins and with great university partners, and there are others in the audience as well, and for Purdue, growing in central Indiana, the CICP event, Melina. So in central Indiana, it is our commitment. And for us, Indianapolis is not a regional, but a integral and equal part of our main campus. And you connect that picture over there with what we are doing right here. And again, memory brings me back to 3 years ago with you, Jeff, Dave Adams, we were standing right here in the middle of empty lot and envisioning what One Health can be like for economic vitality, for workforce development, and for the well-beings of humans, animals, and plant altogether. So again, congratulations, Jeff, for hosting us and for getting us off to a great start in One Health.
Thanks, Mung. You know, I would end, I think it was said, not why, but why not? This is our time. The world needs, you know, all these challenges that have been mentioned today. This is an opportunity, and we've got a lot of proof points. And I guess I would probably go like Pam a little micro and say, now let's get to work. And I know as we go into the panel discussions, how do we say, let's create proof points? And I'll say right here in the next 18 months, maybe I'll have a little competition with Pam to say, I envision in the next 18 months, we announced this morning an incubator downstairs for innovators with a fund, with an alloy to say we welcome people to bring that compound, that spinosad idea, but it's not going to take 40 years. But how do we create the 15, 20 billion of value and a whole lot of great solution sets? Mung's going to build a research institute here that's going to give that innovator, and there's a lot of them in this room that have that idea or that compound, that the students, the chemists, the others can actually activate and develop that. And that we have an intention of putting on this site. One of the biggest problems for innovators is how to scale manufacturing with tech development. And we've got a building on the other side of the river we plan to bring over here to say, hey, innovator, we can help you scale something that's affordable and you can make it. And then our hope is to put a vet clinic on this site, hopefully in the next year or so, where we can actually put application of products in our space into it. So we need more proof points to build a flywheel, I think, Melina, to actually say, hey, if we demonstrate it, they'll come. We have demonstrated, but we need to build on that momentum. So, and there's a lot of people in this room that deserve a lot of credit that has gotten Indiana to where we are today. So a credit to a lot of you. I see a lot of major pioneers here that have made this happen. So grateful, and let's get after it. Let's go.
Thank you so much. And thank you to BioCrossroads and AgriNovus. As I reiterated, CICP, BioCrossroads, AgriNovus, we are committed to driving this forward. So today is all about leaning in and helping us understand what role can you play to drive this vision forward. Let's thank the attendees here and the panelists for their comments.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by AgriNovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstay. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.